This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We welcome you back to Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network. That cackle you heard from the man to my left, Jonathan Von Tobel. Stormy Bonantoni with you live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. What's the laugh for?
Larry Matthews checked in at One Heat up on Twitter. A great screenshot from the other day where ESPN's Get Up was discussing what is Dak Prescott's legacy right now.
And super important conversation to have in the midst of
NHL
Stanley Cup Final and NBA Finals. Very important to have.
Somebody on this desk brought up a Cowboys topic, so.
Well, was I wrong? Did you not agree with me?
And I did. That doesn't take away from the truth that somebody wanted to talk Cowboys as well as Get Up.
We're talking about very different things in this conversation. Right. Let it be known. I'm talking about a win total over 7.5. I'm not talking about what the legacy of Dak Prescott is going to be.
You brought it up off the air.
I brought up the quote that was a headline for anyone who missed it over the weekend. There was just this headline going around that said, like, Dak Prescott wants to win a Super Bowl.
That's right.
I was like, that's the most asinine thing I've ever, like, every team wants to win a Super Bowl. That was
headline.
All I said to you.
Headline, Justin Herbert
so
is
dramatic.
Lukewarm about winning a Super Bowl. Would be nice if it happened.
Right? Right? Like, it's absurd. Okay.
It'd be a good headline. Quote, would be nice if it happened.
Please get that going. Like, make somebody believe that's real. Tweet that out as you have a check mark, right? Make it look legit. Coming up in about 15 minutes.
I did.
It got taken away from you. Ah, hate when that happens. We got Aaron Moore coming up in 15 minutes. Talk college baseball. A big one in Omaha this evening. The rematch that we all wanted, Arkansas and LSU. Mm-hmm. We also have Louisville and Coastal Carolina. Coastal on just an absolute tear through this NCAA tournament. Haven't lost a game since April, so good on them. That'll be a fun discussion. Then at 10:30, David Behrman's going to join us, get his preview of the Travelers Championship in the PGA. Huge purse, loaded field, and should have some much lower scores this week than we did in last week's U.S. Open. And then we're going to round out the show with some best bets. Of course, we've already talked plenty of Stanley Cup Final. If you missed any of that breakdown, remember you can also download Money Moves in podcast form wherever you get your podcast. We also have a poll up right now about the best trophy in sports on our Money Moves Instagram. So make sure you check that out as well. That said, let's get into the MLB card today. 15 games on tap. And we were discussing the Yankees a little bit last segment. So I do want to start here because there is a team in Major League Baseball that's been shut out for 29 straight innings, has scored 5 runs over the last 59. This team is not the Rockies, who actually smashed 7 home runs yesterday. It's not the Pirates.
Let me write this down.
It's not the A's.
I don't want to forget about
this. It is the Yankees, who have been shut out now 3 straight games, 2 to open this 4-game set with your beloved Angels. And we've got an interesting one today. In game 3, what do you think?
I mean, I think the same thing as I did yesterday when I laid a run and a half with the Yankees and they got shut out, which is Kyle Hendricks. My thought yesterday was, is Kyle Hendricks really going to go out there on the road in the Bronx against this lineup that, yes, admittedly has been hitting very poorly, but is also facing Kyle Hendricks, who's topping out at 88 miles an hour, and not going to have some offensive success? Well, they didn't. Now, today, you get Jack Kahanowitz getting the start for the Angels. Jack Kahanowitz has been exactly what you think when you hear the name Jack Kahanowitz, not very good. If you look at his recent stretch, fine, 2 earned runs on the road against Baltimore over 4 1/3. Prior to that, had given up exactly 4 earned runs in the 4 starts prior for the season. You look at it, 5.53 ERA, 5.62 fielding independent. So again, this is setting up for the Angels to roll out their starter, who the Yankees should, in theory, be able to knock around. Having said that, the question is this just such a bad slump that is reminiscent at times of their team from last year, where you're just like, can you trust the Yankees, mm-hmm. especially given the price of where they're at, right? -225 to play, in this game against Kahanowitz and the Angels. I would tend to lean, Stormy, toward where we talked about yesterday, which is everything would tell me this Yankees lineup is capable of beating up on Kahanowitz. And why would I not think that that is going to be the case? And are we really going to look at the last, 5 games? Now, you mentioned they've been shut out over the last how many innings again?
It was 29.
Because it stretches back to the 3rd game, right? Yeah, exactly. So it's like 29 straight innings. Are we going to buy the small sample size of the shutouts in the last 6 games, or are we just going to buy into it? Look, it's the Yankees. We know how good they can be. And eventually they're going to wake up here, and against a guy like Kahanowitz is probably going to be the case. So I would very much lean toward, again, the Yankees, if you wanted to back them a little bit here, if you wanted to go run line, expect that they could be able to do it in this spot. A team total could make some sense. I think the problem with that is this is one of the many games that might experience some sort of weather. If you look at some of the projections for today, we see storms around New York, according to Kevin Roth over there at Roto Grinders. They'll probably play, but maybe a delay here or there. But regardless, I mean, it's just, I feel like the Yankees should wake up. Like everything would point to that being the case. So I'm sure Hannibal to go pitch 7 shutout innings and strike out 8.
Also, if we're going to talk about the loss yesterday, we also have to give credit where credit is due on your win. Abbott was a sweat, but it got there with the Reds yesterday.
Yeah, I thought I got screwed over because for those who didn't see yesterday, Andy Abbott, who continues to be a very, very consistent force in the starting rotation for the Cincinnati Reds. Initially, you look at it, not a great day. 5 2/3, 8 hits, 5 runs, but only one of them earned. At the tail end of his tenure there, it was in the 6th inning where he is about to get out of the inning, and there is a throwing error to first, so they get to extend it out. 2 batters later, after he gives up a hit, there is essentially a line drive out to right that bounces out of the outfielder's glove and into the stands for a home run. So initially, the box score charged him for all of the earned runs, and obviously yesterday was under 2.5 earned runs, and I was furious because, like, dude, like, none of these should count. It got corrected, but Abbott with a pretty good outing. If his team doesn't let him down, you're talking about him getting out there blemish-free, and for the most part, he did again. He wasn't charged with any of those runs, but still, a sweat for about 10 seconds, and my text messages to you guys were one of anger and then one of, oh, never mind.
Yes, and I was just grateful that that all transpired in the 6th inning. Correct. So that our F5 run line on the Reds got there as well, and that wasn't an issue. Back here on Money Moves, breaking down the 15-game MLB slate today, Jonathan Von Tobel has write-ups on the website right now every day while Adam Burke is out of town. You do have one today. What was the first game that grabbed your attention? What was your favorite bet of the day?
Well, so let's go to, I don't know if it's a favorite, but it's the first one coming up here at 4:10 Eastern time. Red Sox at Mariners. We get Garrett Crochet. We get Luis Castillo.
Some good going pitching matchups, or like pitchers that are out there today.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is going to be one of them. So what I think is interesting here is, and again, we talk about sample sizes and how large this is. Let's talk about a minuscule sample size right now. In the 2 games since Rafael Devers has been shipped off to the Bay Area, the Red Sox went 6-for-58 with 22 strikeouts. That's the 2 games they've played against Seattle so far. I don't think they're going to hit 103 for the rest of the season. I don't think they're going to strike out 34% of the time for the rest of the season.
They had 2 hits yesterday.
Yeah, but I also think that this is obviously a weaker lineup, and Castillo is in pretty solid form. 272 ERA, 367 FIP over his last 9 starts. If you look at it, he's not like a strikeout machine, but he's got some pretty good numbers in terms of chase rate at 28.4%, whiff rate 25%. Against a lineup that strikes out about to 25% of the time, one would assume that maybe your floor is raised a little bit here in the ability to induce swings and misses. And on the flip side, you just get Garrett Crochet. Like, the guy's been brilliant. He bounces back from an ugly start against the Yankees, pitches 8 1/3 innings of dominance against them. He, if you look at it, it was the 8th time in 9 starts he's allowed 2 earned runs or fewer. It's kind of like just this blind faith. I can't remember who we were talking about the other day, but it's one of I wrote about, there was Ohtani on Sunday in the Sunday Night Baseball write-up, which the write-up was like over 1.5 bases, and part of it was, yeah, he hits well against lefties. It's also Shohei Ohtani. I have some blind belief here. Same thing here. Like, I have some blind trust that Crochet is going to be able to go out and pitch relatively well in a game in which the market pushed down to 6.5 for a game total today. So went with the, as we call them, the low-hanging fruit spot here, under 1.5 first 3. Let's see it. A plus 110 or so price to see if we can get through this blemish-free, essentially, between Crochet and Castillo today.
I'm starting to get to know you. I knew that's exactly where you were going in this game.
So let's see if they can get it. It's worked at a couple of these spots. Didn't work the last time I played it. That was on Friday in the Giants-Dodgers, but we'll see if we can bounce back here and get it today.
Yeah, total was 7 this morning. Now, you, as you mentioned, down to the 6.5. And just a rough 24 hours for Boston fans, by the way. Just, you get smacked yesterday 8-0 on a day that Devers is suited up for the Giants for the first time and goes 2-for-4, and Brad Marchand lifts a cup. It's just, sorry, Boston fans.
Could have happened to a better community.
Not ideal. I know Royals Rangers is another one you were looking at, and the market move on this game has been pretty interesting. Chris Bubich has been incredible, 1.92 ERA, but is coming off a rough start against the Yankees that we talked about. And initially this morning, I saw the line move against Kansas City, got down to like minus 116 after opening around minus 125. Now that has shifted, and we are all the way out to minus 132 with people coming in on KC.
Yeah, so this is one that I was going to play and write up, but I eventually kind of came off of it. But you mentioned Bubich, and he's been absolutely unreal for the most part all season long. You mentioned the rough start, but given how bad this lineup has been at times, if there was going to be a bounce back for a guy in a start, it would be here for Bubich at this point right now. On the surface, the 192 ERA, 255 FIP indicates like some really solid production here at this point. This was also one of those potential first three plays. Ultimately kind of moved off of it. Like you said, the last start against the Yankees, the four walks, the command has started to get out of hand a little bit here for Bubich. If you look at it, 11 walks in his last four starts, despite the fact that he has pitched at least seven innings in three of the four. But I do wonder if maybe we're starting to see a little bit of a tilt in the other direction, and maybe I'm overvaluing what he can provide here. The other side, too, that kind of scared me off, even though initial thoughts were, again, another first three play, is Corbin. Like, Corbin, yeah, again, he has been steady despite the fact that there's some regression factors that are kind of popping up there. And that was what kind of got me is, you know, is at some point we're going to start to see what we're looking at with some of these numbers. And it's like a big jump, but 366 ERA, 455 fielding independent for Corbin at this point right now. I would think that that's kind of what got me. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to go first three and have them both, you know, kind of cough up a run or two and get out of here. So thought it was a first three play, ultimately got off of it. And, you know, Corbin might not be in the best mental headspace at this point right now. Over the last couple of days.
Lower game full total as well in this one, sitting at 8. We'll talk more Major League Baseball at the end of the hour as we'll dole out our best bets for the day. We'll go from Globe Life Field there in Texas to Charles Schwab next, getting into some college baseball with Aaron Moore. But again, reminder, JVT does have the write-up up at VSiN.com right now. When you're a subscriber, VSiN.com/subscribe. You can lock in right now our early bird football special. So for $175, you get, yes, everything we have to offer at the website, which is the unlimited article access, best bets, betting splits, the VSiN watch app. But you are also getting our football betting guide, which is set to come out in just a couple weeks, July 1st. That thing is dropping. Don't forget, meet the deadline. Adam Burke will yell at us. He's not here this week, so I had to make sure I got that. But VSiN.com/subscribe once again for that early bird special. We'll be right back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Circa Survivor or the Circa Million contest for free this season. Well, Winner Circle Proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus full proxy service included. And get this, you'll also be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. Head over to winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. And speaking of football, we just got some breaking news in the NFL. Jaire Alexander, just 24 hours after his former college teammate Lamar Jackson said, "Hey, Eric, go get him. Love all our corners, but we want Jaire." Lamar Jackson calling for him, and he got him. Going to the Baltimore Ravens. Big news today.
1 year, $6 million, according to Jordan Schultz. And this might speak to something you mentioned off the air, which was that Carolina, among the teams that was pursuing him, he had better offers but wanted to be in Baltimore. So other teams potentially pursuing him. I would say at 1 year, $6 million, this is a fantastic signing if you get him on the field. Since 2021, he has played in 34 games. That is not a lot. He has played in double-digit games just once in the last four seasons. It's not a lot. But if you're going to get, like, if you tell me now, you're getting 12 to 14 games from Jaire Alexander, who's one of the better cover corners in the NFL, I think it's a really great signing for a team that defensively really relies on their coverage. So, like it a lot. Let's see if he can do it.
Yeah, I kid you not. I had just read a tweet that said the Carolina Panthers are interested and close on Jaire Alexander, and then we see the tweet come through from Schefter that he signed with the Baltimore Ravens. So, there you go. Big news. But we also have big news on the diamond in college baseball today out there in Omaha. Let's break it down as Aaron Moore joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. VSiN contributor, college baseball analyst, is the reason why, as you just mentioned in the commercial break, you have an LSU ticket in pocket, and they are favored to win it all now at even money where things sit in the College World Series. But Aaron, how are you doing today? How have the bets gone, and how pumped are you for today?
Well, Stormy, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. It's one of the aspects of college baseball where, as JBT said, he has his LSU ticket. I'm feeling good because I have an LSU ticket. Feeling good because I also have an Arkansas ticket. And it's one of the aspects I like about betting on college baseball are the odds are juicy enough that you can get multiple teams moving forward in the tournament. So as you look at it, you're going to have at least one SEC team in that championship series. And watching this tournament and watching the College World Series, so much of it has been talked about how 13 teams from the SEC, how poorly most of them did it. They never reached expectations. But ultimately, if you have an LSU or Arkansas ticket, you're feeling pretty good right now as these two teams face off tonight.
All right, well, let's talk about that. What's the handicap, despite your position here, Aaron? $1.30, $1.20, I'm looking at my screen right now, in favor of Arkansas with a total of 11 or 10.5.
So, JBT, let's look at the handicap, and let's use one of those terms we talk a lot about on VSiN, is zigzag. So this idea that Arkansas is the favorite in this game but not the favorite in the futures board is because LSU has a game to give. Arkansas has to go all out to win this game. And what one of the aspects of Gage Woods' no-hitter the other day is in the three games in Omaha, they've only used eight pitchers. So they used Aiden Jimenez last night, one of their top relievers. He's not going to be available. But Arkansas is going to throw all their available arms. They need to win this game. And LSU, that doesn't need to win it, of course they would love to win it, get to the championship series, they're not going to go all out in terms of pitching. Arkansas will, so I think that zigzag might be in play, especially Arkansas wins tonight, then these two teams play again tomorrow. You would look at that zigzag. The interesting part about this with LSU and betting college baseball in general is much different than Major League. You really don't know who's going to pitch until basically 20, 30 minutes before the game when you see somebody in the bullpen. So from LSU's standpoint, you don't know if Anthony Ionson is going to pitch. He pitched three innings in the first part of that delayed game. He could come back. It's not going to be Cade Anderson. What we do know for Arkansas, it's going to be Landon Feitelschies, who's a very good left-handed pitcher. So Arkansas is going to throw everything out there. LSU would love to win it, but it's certainly not vital for them to win this game tonight.
How about the other game that we have, the early one, 2 p.m. Eastern, Louisville and Coastal Carolina going head-to-head. The Chanticleer is the only team that hasn't lost a game in the NCAA tournament. They've been awesome. Big favorites to handle Louisville today. Do you agree with that? And is there any angle that you can buy in on this game today?
Yeah, Stormy, I definitely agree with that number. It's a little hard to play Coastal Carolina, but that number is the way it is because Louisville had that miraculous, really hard-fought game last night, 7-6, where they won. There has to be a comedown from them. And what you look at what Louisville has is Patrick Forbes, one of their top pitchers, is probably not going to start this game. It's going to be lefty Colton Hartman who's going to start, and maybe Forbes comes in. I got 11. It's now 11.5. I'm playing the under here, and I'm playing the under because of Coastal Carolina can throw at least two or three of their top pitchers in this game. And the idea that the wind is now blowing out at Charles Schwab Field, the last two games or so, the run total has edged up. Still, Coastal Carolina does not hit a lot of home runs. I'm really looking for a letdown on Louisville's side. So offensively, where they're really strong, I just don't think it's going to be there. So I like Coastal Carolina. I can't play that number. It's about -260 or so. But I will take the 11.5 or that 11 number I got earlier.
Aaron, really quick, I thought this was interesting, and I know that you sent me a DM about this earlier. The SEC, a lot of us thought they were going to be superpowers here in this tournament, and yet when the smoke clears, we are going to have an SEC team in the championship round. So despite the fact that maybe not as many of those teams from that conference made it, the dominance still played out to the point where one of them is going to be competing for a title, no?
Yeah, so JVT, the best case scenario for the SEC would have been what happened the last 2 years. Two teams in the championship series, so obviously the SEC is going to win the College World Series. This year, they're going to get one, and on the other side, if it's Louisville or it's Coastal Carolina, even Coastal Carolina with their 25-game winning streak, whoever is on that other side from the SEC is going to be a favorite. So even though it's not going to end with two SEC teams in the championship series, you're still getting the favorite. And if you ultimately look back at the beginning of the tournament, it's a bet I took and I wrote, laid a lot of juice for the SEC to win this tournament. I still like it because I'm going to get the favorite in that championship series.
Mm-hmm. where the numbers sit right now, LSU is an even money favorite to win the College World Series, followed by Coastal at +215, Arkansas +280, and Louisville, longest of the long shots at 20-1 there. Obviously, we know your positions with tickets in hand on LSU and Arkansas, but if you didn't have anything, would there be a bet to be made in this market, in your opinion?
I think if you look at it, Stormy, I would say two ways. If I didn't have a position, I would be interested in betting Arkansas today to win the game, but then I would also take LSU at that even money to win the College World Series, because it's going to be tough for Arkansas to have this must-win today after what they had to do yesterday and go into that big Thursday game. So if I had to, I would play Arkansas today, but then on the other side, I take that LSU even, because if LSU does make it to the championship series, they're going to be a minus favorite.
All right, Aaron. So overall, as we're getting to the end of this, I'm just curious, did this play out as you expected in terms of it seemed like a pretty wild College World Series, given the fact that a lot of these big teams got knocked out? How has this been in terms of a quality of play overall as you have watched past College World Series compared to this one?
I think the quality of play is there. I'm not surprised LSU and Arkansas are the last two SEC teams standing. Now, I would be lying if I said I didn't expect more SEC teams to be there. But in retrospect, you have to look at what happened. Texas came in very overvalued. They were an injured team entering the SEC tournament and then the NCAA tournament. Vanderbilt should never have been the number one overall seed. They were hot in regular season play as the end of the season progressed and into the tournament, but they were a pitching dominant team that just didn't hit enough. So that's what I'm certainly not surprised by. And then the play in the last few games, it's what we talked about leading into the College World Series, is expect unders. If you watch those games, just look at the amount of balls hit deep that you thought maybe they had a chance, but they were caught by the outfielder right on the rim of the warning track. If those balls were hit on campus sites where the tournament was played previous rounds, then they're probably gone. So the lack of scoring in Omaha is certainly something we've been accustomed to seeing the last few years.
Aaron, awesome insight. Enjoy the games today. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you.
Aaron Moore, everybody. Follow him on X as well, at Pub Relation Prof, the professor. VSiN contributor, college baseball analyst, doing great work for us all year long. Okay, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we return, we go from the Diamond to the Lynx, the Travelers Championship, getting set to get underway tomorrow. David Behrman is going to join us next, give us some different angles and approaches, names to target for the weekend. Don't go anywhere. More Money Moves after this.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
After the best players in the world got rocked by a brutal course at Oakmont last week for the U.S. Open, should have significantly better scoring this week at the Travelers as we welcome you back here to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you, excited to break it all down as David Behrman joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Betting with Behrman, the newsletter, got to check it out. Of course, Chief Content Officer over at Pro Football Sports Network as well. But before we get into the golf, got to give you a little props here. You told us you liked Florida coming into the Stanley Cup Final. You are a Florida fan. Congratulations on the dub. How'd it feel?
Thank you. It was great last night, you know, having get to watch it with my 11-year-old who fell asleep in third period, but I woke him up as it ended and let him watch them skate around with the cup. And he was like half asleep. So when he woke up this morning, he thought he had dreamt it, which is even better. So it was good. Not only did I say they were going to win before they played Edmonton, but I actually took them in September before the season started. I got the 10-1 price, which is even better than what you're going to see for a three-peat. So it was exciting. It was exciting for this household. It was exciting to see it. My kid's now old enough to appreciate it. So that was a good feeling.
Are they primed to do it again next year? Will they re-sign Sam Bennett? Right now, in most spots, the Oilers are the favorite to win the Cup next season. Is that a proper price?
It actually was surprising to see the Oilers as the favorite. I get it. They have Connor McDavid. They have a good team. But, you know, they've lost two consecutive years in the Cup Final to the Panthers. And, yeah, it went seven last year, but Florida won the first three games and dominated. And then this year they pretty much dominated, losing two games in overtime. The Panthers have their core back. They have most of their players back. I know Sam Bennett won the Conn Smythe, and he's a free agent. I think he takes the hometown discount and stays home. He loves it there. He loves playing for the Panthers, has a good relationship with the front office. They have their core back. Does Marchand go somewhere else or retire? Does Bennett go somewhere else? The Panthers lost six key players from last year's Stanley Cup team, and they came back and won it again. Yes, it's hard to three-peat. Hasn't been done in a million years. But this, the core of the team, it is what it is, and I'm actually surprised to see them not only behind Edmonton, but there are some books who actually have Carolina ahead of them, and the Panthers have nothing but dominated Carolina for 2 years. So I think you're still getting good value in them coming back. And, you know, we talked off air, it's tough to wear this on your body and do it time and time again, but the team doesn't look like they're slowing down. They got the same core back, and if they get Bennett back, I think they'll be just as good.
And they do. Have they done such a good job of building up that roster for postseason play. So we'll see if they're able to make history and have a little three-peat action. But again, 7-1, that price right now. It is odd to me to see the Edmonton Oilers ahead of them. Let's get into a little bit of the golf here. I mentioned the potential for much better scoring. For context, J.J. Spahn, who won the U.S. Open, finished one under. He was the only player in the entire tournament to go under par. You look at the Travelers, the last three tournament winners, Scottie Scheffler, 22 under, Keegan Bradley, 23 under, Xander Schauffele, 19 under. So we should get some much more impressive golf as fans this week. And we've got a lot of big names as well in the field.
100%. And not only do those scores expect to be a lot lower than they were at the U.S. Open, but the course is even easier than it even lets on. It's in our backyard. I'm here doing this hit 15 minutes away from the course. I've played it four or five times. If I can score on it, these guys can score on it. It is wide open. These guys can hit and bomb it away and not worry about getting stuck in 8-inch rough and having greens fall off the side into water. You're going to see some birdies. They call it a birdie fest for a reason. It's a great field. You will see a lot different scores. You'll see scores in the 1920s. And instead of J.J. Spahn, who you said was one under, and that took a 67-foot putt to have him break par. I think you'll see someone score anywhere between 18 to 25 this week. We've seen it repeatedly. It's a fun course to play. It's a fun course to watch. They get great crowds every single year, and I'm just happy it's taken off, because for a while it was an event that nobody went to because it was after the U.S. Open and nobody wanted to play it. Now that it's a signature event, you get the top 70 players in the world to go to it, so you're going to see Rory and Scotty and Morikawa and McIntyre and others, and I think you're going to get a really, really good event. You're just not going to see guys hitting triple bogeys all the time.
All right, well, you mentioned it was an eternity since we saw a three-peat in the Stanley Cup. It's been an eternity since Scottie Scheffler's finished outside of a top 10. Are we doing the same thing here? Are we including him in some form or fashion? How do we handle this with him being, again, such a short favorite at the top of the board?
Yeah, I can't justify you betting him at plus 280 against a 70-person field with as many good golfers as in there. So I'm going to do what I've done, and I've given it out on the show numerous times. I'm going to play him top five. That's what this guy does. It's been an eternity since he finished out of the top 10. He's also finished in the top five in six of his last eight tournaments. Apologies, he finished T7 last week at U.S. Open. It's just, he's that good. He's minus 165 to finish in the top five. And as always, I will monitor him live. If somebody goes low on Thursday and he doesn't, maybe you can get him at 4 or 5 to 1. That's how I'll play Scotty. He won it last year. He absolutely can win it again. He seems to love the signature events. I expect him to be there in the end. And this is a tournament he can obviously win, but I'm not paying the 280.
Yeah, March 16th was the last time that he finished out of the top 10. Just crazy, the numbers that he's been able to put up this year. We ask a lot about not only the players that you like in a given weekend, but the players you absolutely have no interest in. Are there any guys that you crossed out going into the Travelers?
Yeah, Rory McIlroy is one of those. I just don't think his head's in it right now. He got what he wanted with the Masters win. He's been terrible ever since. Yes, he finished with a good round on Sunday at minus 367, which is one of the better ones in the field. That being said, he just isn't playing well. His mind's not in it. He's sniping with the media. He didn't play well here last year, so I'm going to be staying away from Rory. Guys that I do have on my radar include Colin Morikawa, who has not won in a long time, but he had a really good round on Sunday, led the field in shots gained approach, which will help him here at TBC River Highlands in Connecticut. And listen, he's one of the best hitters on tour. He just hasn't been getting it done with the putter. I think he's primed to take advantage of this course in this field. You're going to get him at 16 to 18 to 1. He is someone that I'm playing. And to go a little bit deeper and playing off of Oakmont, there were some guys who just got buried. Adam Scott, Sam Burns, Tyrell Hatton got buried by Oakmont, very frustrated, whether it's water spots, whether it's bunkers. But then it was a guy who finished strong, was the clubhouse leader, and just watched somebody else take the U.S. Open from him, and that's Robert McIntyre. McIntyre had one of the best rounds of the day on Sunday. He had six birdies. He played really well. He didn't let the course beat him up like the others did. It just so happened J.J. Spahn turned into Tiger Woods on the last two holes. So McIntyre is one of the best golfers out there right now. Had a really, really low round on Sunday. And listen, he's been in the top 20 of the last three of the last four events, runner-up at Oakmont. He's top 25 in shots gained total off the tee and approach. He's back in the field and putting, but I think that can work to his advantage here at TPC River Highlands. So I'm going to play him at 40 to 1.
The most of the weekend looks pretty good. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's a chance we get some weather on Thursday. Could it be bad enough that we create some volatility and some opportunities after the first round? How impactful do you think the weather will be on Thursday?
They've had some weather issues here in the past with Central Connecticut in this type of year. Trust me when I say it's rained every single day here since April. I think it'll change a little bit if they have to move the round to Friday, not the full round, but push guys back. There isn't a drastic difference between the front nine and back nine, so I don't think the weather will play that much of a havoc of whether you go out early or late. It just makes the course a little bit play a little bit differently. The greens are a little bit tricky, and they have some traps around them and undulation, so the rain could play that, but it also softens up the course. So when it does rain here, you could get some really low scores as the greens will be holding a little bit. You won't get as much travel on your drives, but it is a relatively short course compared to other much longer courses they play on tour.
Did you get involved in any other markets going into the tournament? I know you mentioned a couple, you know, top whatever markets, but head-to-heads, first round leader, or other top 20 guys that you like?
Yeah, one of the other guys I like is Ben Griffin. Here's a guy who's quickly becoming one of my favorite golfers. He has four straight top 10s. He snuck out a T10 at Oakmont last week. I'm playing him at a top 20. I think Brian Harman is somebody to watch as a first-round leader as well as another top 20. He loves this course. In the last seven appearances there, he's gone T6, T8, missed cut, T5, T8, T2, T9. So that's six of the last seven appearances. He's finished in the top 10. So I'll be playing him there as well as first round leader. And I would also look at Justin Thomas. Here's a guy who's been Jekyll and Hyde all year long. He wins an event. He misses the cut at majors. This is a course that fits him. He's been putting extremely well. Sixth on tour in shots gained total and 12th on approach. I expect him to have a very good day as well and could see him playing a little bit in the first round market. So Harman, Thomas, and Griffin are guys I'm watching, and you can't have a card at the Travelers without having Keegan Bradley on it. He's a Boston guy, won this event 2 years ago, is the all-time leading money winner, and he'll have the crowd behind him. They love him here in New England, so I'll be playing him to finish in the top 20 as well.
Great stuff, and I love that line from very early on in our conversation. If I can score on it, imagine what these guys are going to score on the course. David, you're wonderful. Thank you for this, and congrats again on Florida.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
David Bearman, everybody. Really appreciate his time. Follow him on X at David Bearman, PFN, and check out the Betting with Bearman newsletter. I was so excited. I got giddy when he mentioned Ben Griffin.
You
because
did.
I really like him this weekend.
Was that congratulations? Did you mean it?
Yes, I did mean it. I should have said congratulations on Sam Bennett, Conn Smythe.
I wouldn't have meant it. I would not have wished congratulations upon anybody.
I just think it would be so cool for the Oilers to get it done. But another year.
Connor McDavid will do it
when he's
with Toronto,
apparently. But I will say, America, coming through again on that note. We'll be right back wrapping things up with our best bets of the day. Don't go anywhere. More Money Moves on Visa, the Sports Betting Network, next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wrapping up this Wednesday edition of Money Moves live in downtown Las Vegas.
See, the people ask all the time, right, is this someone you can have a beer with? Come on. I'm someone you can have a beer with.
I have.
And
it's great.
See?
I was just saying, actually, I really enjoy JVT a couple beverages deep because, as our listeners know, anybody who listens to Money Moves regularly or if you listen to VSiN over the years, you know JVT is very dry sarcasm. And when you've had a couple, you actually give the smirk when you're sarcastic. You're right. Not the full stone face, so there's a better read.
When I was, when I was trying to convince our boss, Steve Cohen, to take us to new heights with our show, some people were not in on it.
By new heights, you mean new lengths?
That's right, yeah. Just,
I think we've got a really good sweet spot here. We hit everything we need to hit on. It's wonderful.
See, it's a great time. I'm a very relatable person, right? I don't lecture people on TSA pre-check and things like that. I just sit there and hang out with you, bum smokes off you, and just, good time.
Not off me.
No, not off you. No, I don't want to put that evil on her.
It was a time in Omaha, which, by the way, also the owner of Rocco's was on Follow the Money yesterday.
Yep.
Make sure, if you ever miss any of our shows, they're all available in podcast form. You can download, subscribe. Money Moves.
Money
also,
Moves, yep.
Make sure you follow our Money Moves Instagram. We do have a poll up
Money
right
Moves.
Now. The Stanley Cup is the clubhouse leader right now in the best trophy in sports. I don't really think it's a debate, but neither here nor there. That said, let's move on from these topics that make JVT so sassy and get into our best bets of the day presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And we've got the trifecta deal going on right now between GBank, First Bet, and us here at VSiN. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature Card your first 90 days from opening up the account. Deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That triggers the trifecta. You then get $200 in cashback rewards on your signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN is going to give you free VSiN Pro subscription, $200 in value there. That is our $500 trifecta. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank for more information and to sign up. Remember, this is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening up a new account in response to the offer. Doesn't apply to requests to converting existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. VSiN.com/GBank. And we've got a lot of action today. 15-game slate in MLB. Both of us have bets there. You've got the article up at VSiN.com, which is live now. Favorite bet of the day. Let's hit it.
All right. Well, not favorite. I will say the earliest.
Okay. You did this again. Not favorite, just the earliest one.
Yeah,
you don't like one of your bets more than the other?
Much like with children, I love them all equally.
Whoa. I don't think that's a real thing either.
Oh,
I think everybody secretly likes a certain child the most.
Where do you? How many siblings do you have?
Four.
All? No, you have a brother.
Yeah, I have two brothers. I have an older brother and then three younger siblings.
Older brother, three younger siblings. Okay.
Yes.
So where do you think you fall in the rankings?
Well, I've always been the favorite child until the youngest one came up, and now I've kind of been supplanted.
Okay.
But I know.
The fact that you're so quick to say you're the favorite child explains
a lot. I was for a long time, but I've been moved on because I was the responsible good one.
Yeah. Well, I guess I say that my favorite would be the one that I don't think is going to get delayed. How about that? That would be Red Sox and Mariners later today. Coming up, actually, in about 3 hours, a little less than that. Under first three, 1.5 at about +110. You can find it out there. Castillo's on the hill. Crochet's on the hill. Obviously, market thinks it's going to be a pretty low-scoring game. Market opened up with 7 most spots, got bet down to 6.5. That is where we're at right now. Look, blind faith in Crochet. And I believe that a guy like Castillo, who's been fine, hasn't been the strikeout guy as he once was. His floor is raised, I think, in this lineup that is really missing Rafael Devers. Again, in 2 games, the team has hit 104, or in totality, if you want the actual numbers here, in the 2 games since shipping off Devers, a combined 6-for-58, as you mentioned, 2 hits yesterday and 22 strikeouts in totality over the last 2 games against the Mariners. I think they just are not the same lineup. I don't think that's anything crazy. So I think you get a low-scoring affair between these two, under 1.5 first three at +110. The other game that I think that I was mentioning that could get delayed, we actually haven't had a time to talk about this yet. Milwaukee's on the road against Chicago today. Brew Crew and the Cubs. Cubs opened up about $1.57 favorite here. We're looking at like $1.59. But our guy, Jacob Mizorowski, the youngster, is going to be out again after his brilliant debut against St. Louis. 5 shutout innings, didn't allow a hit. But if you look at Mizorowski's actual performance, dig a little bit deeper, Stormy, there are some things that you don't really love a ton, and it's a debut, who cares, but he walked 4, mm-hmm. Got a little lucky on the batted balls, and if there was an offense that I think can make a pitcher like Mizorowski pay, it would be Chicago. If you look at his arsenal, really relying on the fastball, really relying on the slider, this is a Chicago team that is a good fastball hitting team, top 5 in terms of some of the metrics out there. They're also a team that is very disciplined. Swing at pitches outside of the zone just 26.8% of the time, that's 8th lowest in Major League Baseball, 10th in walk rate. And against this fastball-slider combo that Mizorowski likes to work, also his lack of command, not just stemming from this last start, but at AAA this year, walking about 12% of the batters he's faced, I think the Cubs can generate some offense here against Mizorowski, and I think the matchup works pretty well. As I mentioned, there is a potential of a delay and maybe even of a postponement. There is going to be weather out there, so scoring's going to be at a premium. Wind's kind of blowing in, but left to, you know, left to right, so somewhat diagonal across the field more than anything else. So scoring might be at a premium, but like this matchup for Chicago. So win Cubs first five minus the half run, even money.
Okay, my favorite child of my bets today is the Phillies on the F5 run line. And by the way, don't get mad at me or my dad for my comments about favorite children. It's like the Deion Sanders effect, where you can work your way up in the rankings, okay? But at least he's transparent about it. That's it.
Maybe I'm just jealous.
Phillies F5 run line minus 115 at the Marlins today. Market moving against Philadelphia, open minus 195 on the run line. Now we're seeing around minus 170, minus 172. But Ranger Suarez been so good. The baseball savant chart we love so much lights up red. Red is good, blue is bad. 5-1, 2.32 ERA, expected ERA right there. Giving up three total earned runs his last five starts, going 6-7 innings in each, averaging 5.5 strikeouts per game in that. Facing a Marlins lineup that's been struggling. It is particularly bad in the F5. Fifth worst in the league in the first five innings. Phillies bats, yes, sans Bryce Harper right now. Still eighth in MLB in runs scored in the first five. Second best average in the sport. Even in an eventual 8-3 loss yesterday, they were still up and covered that first five run line. Marlins starter today, Adam Mazur. Is that how you say that? Mazur?
I think so.
Well, the reason you might not know is because he just got called back up from AAA. First start this year, only has 33 2/3 innings pitched in the bigs. Last year, 1-3, 7.49 ERA. So give me the Phillies on the F5 run line there. And then I'm also on the Astros run line in Sacramento against the A's. Just a pitching mismatch in my mind. Luis Severino's splits are kind of wild. At home in Sacramento, 0-6, 7.10 ERA. That includes four straight games in which the A's have lost by multiple runs. A's one of the worst bullpens in baseball as well. It's actually the worst right now with a team ERA just under 6 in that park that is much more friendly to hitters than pitchers. Framber Valdez on the other side giving up two runs or fewer in four straight. So just trusting the Astros get it done today on the run line. Even money price there, which I like. I do have a couple golf bets that I threw into the account as well for the Travelers.
If you'd like it for the record, Major.
Major.
Adam Major.
Oh, it's a Z that sounds like a J. Yeah. Fun. So know that for future reference. Yep. If he does well today and ruins my bet, I'll be upset. In the Travelers,
we'll never say his name again. Never work at this time again.
I was on board with the Ben Griffin talk. I am throwing in a top 20 plus 125, a top 10 at plus 320. There are three players on tour that have been top 10 in the last two majors. Scottie Scheffler, Jon Rahm, and Ben freaking Griffin, okay? 10th at the U.S. Open, tied for 8th at the PGA Championship. Two wins this season, including the Charles Schwab 3 weeks ago. Finished 2nd at the Memorial. 7 top 10s and 19 starts. Form has been great. I am rolling with him, and I am rolling with Sam Burns as well. If we're talking about form, one puddle away from potentially winning the U.S. Open. He's right there. But tied for 7th there. RBC Canadian goes to a playoff, finishes in 2nd. Top 12 in the Memorial. The last, I don't know, month and a half, he has been much more dialed in. And I like a couple different angles backing him as well. My favorite, though, is the top 20, again, at a plus money price, plus 105 on Sam Burns in the top 20.
Okay, I like it. Ooh, I'll be rooting for
fired
you.
Up.
All right, back to the news in the NFL of the day. I took the spotlight. Do you like the signing of Jaire Alexander?
I do. Yeah, I think you pointed it out well. If you get the amount of games from him that you would hope, then, yeah, I think it's going to be a great addition to that cornerback room. And a team that is already great gets better, and you get a player that's talented still and young enough at a discounted price because he wanted to play with his former college teammate and buddy in Lamar Jackson. I like the way that it came together. I know our producer, Brian Ortega, well-known Packers part owner.
Slandered
him. Got to make sure that I put it out there.
Two-time part owner, please.
He's not too thrilled.
Yeah, two-time.
Two-time, pardon me.
Just get that right.
Excuse me. Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
At $6 million, again, if you tell me he plays 12 to 14 games for this team this year, if you look at his overall output in terms of, like, PFF grade, coverage, thing, all those things, he has never really dropped off. It's always really been about injury and then kind of being
injury
weird.
Injury and attitude.
Yes, you see it. Being a weird dude. So if you go out there and you get those 12 to 14 gains of well above average play at the cornerback position for a team that is already relatively strong at that position and prides itself and really is built from the back forward in terms of the way it plays defensively, it's going to be a very big win for this team. So I'm down.
And good news for the Baltimore Ravens. Jaire Alexander will not have Carolina on the schedule for the team, so no worries about him going out for the coin toss or anything like that. Baltimore minus 145 odds-on favorites in the AFC North, followed by the Bengals plus 230, Steelers plus 550, Browns 30-1. They are third shot on the board to win it all. Actually tied for second at DraftKings right now. Plus 650 tied with the Bills, behind only the Philadelphia Eagles to repeat. That's a wrap for us. For JVT, our producer Brian Ortega, our whole crew behind the glass, we appreciate you hanging out with us. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Have a great day. Good luck with your bets. Let's cash some tickets. Prop points coming up next.